Welcome back to Radio Entrepreneurs. My name is Alexander Stablowski. Just so you know, you guys can find us on our YouTube channel, Twitter, Facebook. We go through the whole regime, every single interview. But we don't go to the same regime when Gary's sitting right next to me. Gary, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Alex. So glad to be co-hosting with you today. And we have a fabulous guest, Max LaRue. He's going to tell us all about his company. I can't wait to hear this story. It's going to be great.
INO Wireless. So, Max, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Nice for having me.
Excited to be here?
Absolutely.
Awesome, awesome. Well, we're excited to have you here. We were looking forward to it. But if you want to know about what is INO Wireless, want to tell us a little bit about the story?
Absolutely.
Sure.
So, we are a Finnish company with offices in Boston, Massachusetts, and in Salo, Finland. We make wireless, rugged, and loudspeaker microphones for push-to-talk over IP. That sounds like a lot of acronyms, but think about an old-school walkie-talkie. You have a half-duplex communication. On the push of a button, you can talk. Everyone listens. While in a full-duplex communication, I dial your phone number. I wait for the beep, beep, until you pick up, and then we talk. In critical communication, what you need is you have to press a button and Joe get the hammer, or I need backup at gate B, or in police, emergency, logistics, even cab drivers say, I've got a customer at the airport who's going to pick him up. Cab number 137, I got him. So that's kind of like the idea of what is push to talk. Now, think about old school walkie-talkies. Today, there's an app for that. Like there's an app for everything. So there are walkie-talkie style apps. There's over 100 million installed apps worldwide, and they work over iOS or Android smartphones. But smartphones are fragile. They're very difficult to use with gloves on in certain situations. Like think of the utility guy repairing your electricity after a hurricane or a snowstorm. They can't possibly take out their smartphone out of their pocket to call for help or anything else. So the need for a rugged and loud speaker microphone will never go away, no matter what kind of technology you have underneath to communicate. And so
what makes yours so special?
We are the like a second generation wireless speaker microphone. So this type of Bluetooth speaker mic for the shoulder microphone that connects via Bluetooth to your smartphone has only been around for just under a decade, I would say. And the first generation of these speaker mics are basically you cut off the cable of an old school walkie-talkie radio and put a Bluetooth chip inside and then try to roll it from there. What we did is we build our device from scratch for a smartphone because we want more than just pushing a button. We want to take advantage of everything that technology has to give. So we have an emergency button. You can press an emergency alert.
I'm assuming that's the red button.
That's the red button. So it has a little rim around, so you find it even in the dark and you don't accidentally press it. But now you have that on a radio too, but on a smartphone application, you can also locate the person immediately. You press the emergency button, everyone knows where that person is. So if you have a man down situation or you have some kind of problem, what's going on, someone presses the button, you can see on your map, because then your colleagues, your team members will take out their phone or the dispatcher sees, oh, there's an emergency, let's send them someone over there. And so all these technologies that we have from geofencing, where you can just talk to a certain group within, let's say, 100 yards, you're like searching for something in the woods, and you press a button, but you don't want to talk to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
All these fancy features and functions that these public safety and other push-to-talk apps have don't really have a corresponding remote control. So we want you to keep your phone in your pocket, and anything your app can do, you can do over a wireless speaker microphone.
Now, does your app have to be up? Do you have an app for that
so
device?
We don't make the app. It's like the car makers don't make their own wheels. We are the wheels who get this industry rolling, I'd say. So there are probably about 10, 12 leading apps worldwide, and we work with all of them together.
Wow.
What this does is there's no there's no standard for Bluetooth over for push to talk over Bluetooth. So you're sending commands over the air, and the app basically takes the press and release buttons and then matches them to whatever they want to do. So some apps are more focusing on you know, chat room type voice conversations. Others are really focused on public safety. Some are more for like fleet management, if you manage like fleets of trucks that go and deliver and things like that. And so that gives them the ability to assign button functions to to this device. So we wanted to create something like a dynamic hardware, because the needs might change over sometimes weeks or months. The customer says, oh, I want this app to do this and that. I can't make a new hardware every time someone has a special request. So this allows me, with a lot of buttons on it, soft buttons, you can either, you know, switch to talk groups or assign call Gary or something on it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, then you press a button, it dials your number. And
it sounds great. Yeah. Sounds wonderful. Now, the one that you brought in today, Max, what can you tell us a little bit more about that? And do you have different models? And what does something like that retail for? What would it cost somebody? And like, say you were, you know, wanted to sell that piece of equipment to either the military or the police or something like that. How does that whole process work?
So the price of the device is $199, VAT zero. If you're within the European Union, we'll have to charge you value-added tax. And if you live in certain states where we have, you know, we have operations, then we're forced to charge you sales tax. But if you are a business, you pay $199 per unit. If you buy, you know, a lot of them, you can give me a call and we'll talk about, you know, rebates. Everyone wants everything for cheaper. But
as business,
we always say you can't walk in with a budget for a Walmart phone and except to get an iPhone. Mm-hmm. You know, if you want quality, you also have to, you know, be ready to pay for it. We're using a third-party logistics provider. They're called Chipwire. They are a part of Ingram Micro. They are able to basically ship anywhere in the world. They have 9 warehouses globally. And we make our products, ship them to the warehouse, and then when an order gets in through our website, for example, or if we place it on Amazon, via API, there's immediately the when the payment goes through, the data of where the address of the shipping address will be delivered, they pack and ship for us, and they get the best rates. So I'm able to offer rates that you get on Amazon or so on. So that makes it easy for the customer to order, because they know they get their devices immediately. People are used to that. It makes it easy on my side, because I can make one-off sales, which for businesses in our industry is not normal. You would get a request like, "Ooh, can I have one device as a demo?" And you try to find out how big is the customer. Is that a good opportunity or not? And you have a lot of consumerization of IT. So people use their private email for these inquiries, and then afterwards you find out, oh, he's working for a big company and he's a decision maker, but you don't know that. If you make it easy for people to buy a single device without having to pack and ship and follow up and send invoices, you make it a lot easier to send seed units out that are not necessarily free, because everyone wants free stuff, but if I give everyone free stuff, I'm running out of cash very quickly.
That is true. What is your background? How did you get into this? How did you come up with this idea?
Yeah, I guess most people who start a business, they turn a hobby into a business, or they work in an industry and start to do it on their own. So I did the latter of them. I used to work for a company first in Finland and then in New York City that is in the old school walkie-talkie accessories business. Mm-hmm. They had hired me to do their global rollout of a first generation push to talk over cellular device back then. And then after 3 years working for them, we had some, you know, disagreements on a few things, like sometimes it happens. I think there were some unthoughtful acquisition strategies that they
business
did.
Is full of disputes.
Exactly.
Makes it exciting.
So, well, I do have the nature that I when people you know, I bang on my fist on the table if I think something goes wrong, and that doesn't always fly in business. So the end of the story was I was let go. It was not just about, you know, personal dispute, but it was a lot of like financial problems. It was right in the middle of the recession, so everyone was cash strapped. And so because my business unit was very much in a business development phase, where now cash is coming in, the opportunities are bright, that's the first ones you cut when you have a recession. So it's a little bit of everything.
So were you able to take some of those problems and come up with a solution in your own company that you developed?
Yes. So the first thing was, it was 2010, I had no money, and started a business without money is really not that easy, especially living in New York City. So first I took a three-year detour.
That's a tough market.
It is. I took a three-year detour at Dell in Texas, which, you know, I'm not the biggest fan of working for big corporations. Dell was a nice company, but they're still a big corporation, and I can't handle the hierarchies and the decision processes they have. And on the other hand, it was just too hot. The good thing was about living in Texas, and that's really, I learned how big companies make decisions, where to tackle them. I had a few years where this industry I'm in had time to develop into something it is today. Today, it is much easier to explain to people what an app is. When years ago, there was the first iPhone just coming out. People didn't know that. Today, you say, oh, you just download a PTT app and you connect it with this via Bluetooth. Okay, cool. Almost anybody can do that. So having to take the detour actually helped me to get my business off the ground much better. If there had been someone 6 years ago gave me $1 million, I probably would have failed. I might have built a product that wasn't right for the market. It was may have been too early or not good enough. And so I had all that learning curve.
How do you learn how much inventory to keep and the whole strategy as far as, employment and the amount of staff that you need to carry to do the job? How did you learn all that stuff?
Well, the lack of funds makes you very creative. You focus on what you really need to do. You try to do everything you can yourself. You try to find help from anyone you can, and only spend money where you really have to. Mm-hmm. And then you build the company out based on everything you think you need internally in terms of keeping your intellectual property right or making sure the product actually works. Everything that could be a risk, which is better to do in-house to eliminate that risk or make it smaller, you do in-house, and everything else we try to outsource. So whether it's using an accounting software, whether it's like using legal services or even subcontract manufacturing, near sourcing, our shipping process. So all the things that we're not experts in, and we don't have to be experts today anymore, because there's always someone else who can do it. They do it better, they do it cheaper, and then you are their customer. They treat you really nicely. You don't have to manage the people, motivate them for something that might be a tedious, boring task. So the good thing is you can really keep a team very small. Everyone knows what the other one is doing, and nobody does something that's not needed. Everyone really does the core item of your business.
So where are you going to be at in a year, 2 years?
And you've been my question.
Oh, sorry.
Now you go.
And you've been all over the world, from Finland to Brazil to Texas, you name it. Are we going to still end up in the United States, or what are we envisioning?
The United States is, for us, will always be probably the biggest market. We will always have a presence here. It might not be me personally, but I will always be here for the most important trade shows to meet with our partners. So we're planning on building this out big and have a team in place. We have already technology partners and resellers from California to the South Pacific. Today it's so easy to be in touch with everybody with all the technology available. I think one piece of building a global business is taking all the services, all the technology, and advantage of young people who have traveled everywhere. They're so easy to talk with other cultures. Take that all together, and then it's really not that big of a difference anymore. Do you talk to someone in Sydney, or do you talk to someone in San Francisco? It's just like the time is a little off, but people are also so used to that. You call them on a Sunday night or from home or whatever. So
you're completely right. I mean, business is so dynamic nowadays, and you connect with everybody. I mean, with the radio show, we've connected with 38 different countries. If you have entrepreneurs from all over the place. So yeah, it does make it easy now for a self-entrepreneur just like yourself. Max, if somebody wants to reach you and get in touch with you and wants to use your product, how would they do that?
Well, the easiest way is to go on our website on aina-wireless.com. There's a form you can fill out, or you just send an email to info@aina-wireless.com. Just to get in touch. We can be found on Twitter and Facebook. We reroute every inquiry to the person who speaks the language that it comes from. So we try to serve people in in most languages, and we try to answer every email within, you know, the shortest time, because we really think that the early adopters are the ones who champion us the most, and we listen to what they suggest us. You can't always implement everything, but I think this whole listen to your customers is so important, no matter where they come from and how big as a deal it is, because maybe someone just uses a product like ours as a hobby, but they encounter a problem that a huge client might have later. And with those, you often have only one shot. If you fail in the technology, you might lose that deal. So better go after every little one, because they do beta testing and they're very patient with you, and then you get it right when you want to go after the big fish.
Great. Well, this is Radio Entrepreneur.